You found, if you're able to, let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. We'll begin in verse number 8, Isaiah 40, verse number 8. The Bible says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, thou bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountains. O Jerusalem, thou bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God." That's a wonderful phrase. Behold your God. "Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity." I'm going to read two other verses. Look at verse number 18 with me. "To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him?" Jump down to verse number 25. "To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One." Isaiah 40 has played a great, great impact in my life. And I want to encourage us this morning on this subject matter, not just encourage, but really convict us too, if we start thinking about it on the subject matter. How big is your God? How big is your God? Well, Isaiah chapter 40 describes an awfully big God. We'll look at it. Father, we love you. Thank you that you loved us. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and lived a perfect life, died the perfect death, shed his blood for each and every one of us. Lord, I'm thankful that as we look into the scriptures, we're just reminded this morning on how great and how wonderful and how big our God is. Lord, would you encourage us this morning on that thought? Would you challenge us? Draw us closer to you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. How big is your God? There's many times, and if we were to ask the question, and some would say, well, he's real big. Or some, maybe of the little kids, would say he's willy big. If you have to ask the kids downstairs. Sometimes would ask them and they just say, man, he's awesome. He's more than what we could imagine. He's greater than we could ever put names to. It's no wonder that the songwriter would simply write about amazing grace. How sweet the sound. And just our human and finite vocabulary is by no means a match to be able to describe how big our God is. There was an old televangelist one time that he said at the foot of his bed, he was able to see a 600-foot Jesus. Well, I say, according to looking at the scriptures, I don't believe that was my God, because I think my God's a little bigger than that. If he's able to use the earth as his footstool, If he's able, as we read down through here, and we won't take the time, boy, it's a wonderful passage of scripture, who the Bible says that he can measure the waters of the earth in the hollow of his hand. We serve a big God. One little girl made the statement one time about being saved and asking the Lord Jesus Christ, as only a young lady or a small child is able to do, asking the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their heart and save them and take them to heaven for all of eternity. She asked the question, she said, if God is so big and I am so small, and if God comes to live inside of me, shouldn't he be sticking out somewhere for people to be able to see? And out of the mouth of babes, they teach us great and profound truths. We serve a great God. But can I say, sometimes by our disposition, sometimes by our reactions, sometimes because of the weight of burdens that we carry, we would think that we have a little puny God that would just be sitting on a shelf somewhere. I've walked into countries around this world and they have their gods for sale as you walk through their marketplaces. And can I say, I'm thankful this morning that our God's not for sale, okay? He's not for sale. And I've made mention of this illustration before, that I was able to talk to a missionary that was overseas, and he said one man that got saved, he said, I'd witnessed to him, I'd given him the gospel, I'd given him gospel tracts just for months. And he said he had all his false gods that were set up in his house that he would worship and he would bow down to and he would pray. And he said one day his little hut, his house, caught on fire. And he said he ran back inside his hut or his house there. And Brother Noah, he gathered all his gods together. And as he's running out of the house with all his gods in his arms, it finally dawned on him, shouldn't my gods be saving me instead of me saving my gods? Something was backwards in what took place right there. And can I say, he was gloriously saved and trusted Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. But as I read through Isaiah chapter 40, listen, there is not a time that I go back to Isaiah chapter 40 that I am not encouraged and challenged about how big our God is. Now, Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 31, probably one of the most printed verses throughout the scriptures, with a nice picture of an eagle and the mountainside behind it. But they that wait upon the Lord, and the end of the verse says that they'll mount up with wings as eagles. And you see that majestic eagle as it's soaring there. And we'll get to that here in a little while. But can I say, there's a whole lot of scripture and a whole lot of encouragement before verse number 31. And I want to share a few thoughts. There is so much preaching that could be done and encouragement. You ever feeling depressed? You ever feeling discouraged? Just come back and read Isaiah chapter 40. And realize again how big God is, okay? And let me share just a few thoughts with you this morning on how big is your God. Because sometimes we go through life, and honestly, what we reveal to this world, they wouldn't think our God's very big whatsoever. Sometimes how we live defeated. Sometimes how we say, listen, I'm under the circumstances. And someone said, well, what are you doing under the circumstances? Aren't we supposed to live victorious and be on top of the circumstances? Sometimes we just go around like our God's about that big and we just put him in the pocket. And just wait till we need him, maybe to be able to pull him out and like a lucky rabbit's foot or something. When God's saying, I'm a whole lot bigger than that. So let me ask a few questions this morning to be able to encourage us. First of all, is your God big enough to preserve his word for you forever? Because in verse number 8, wonderful passage of scripture, the grass withereth. Boy, it's withering this week with the hot sun, isn't it? The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Can I say God gave us His Word, and I'm thankful today that we can open up the Word of God and we can read it. And you know something? We don't have to wait for some other person. Someone asked me yesterday as we were out knocking doors and just a divine appointment following up on a new convert. The door next door opened up to it. Was able to start talking with that man for about 30 minutes. And he asked me about the preaching that takes place here at Granite State Baptist Church. And I said, well, we've kind of got this policy at Granite State Baptist. I said that whatever I say, it has to be backed up by the book. And I said, so we kind of have that policy. I said, so it kind of eliminates a whole bunch of personal opinions or me walking to the pulpit with another book to be able to preach out of. But I'm thankful that we can stand today and we serve a God. Listen, my God, the God of this Bible, is big enough to be able to write His book and to be able to preserve His book all down through the ages. I don't have to stand up here today and say, I think this is what God said. Because if I have to say, I think this is what God said, then maybe the Word of God would not stand forever. And maybe the subject matter of salvation and eternal security, maybe it would just be, oh, you're just saved maybe for the first 10 years. Boy, that wouldn't be good, would it, Brother Shepherd? If you're just saved for the first 10 years and then you got to get it all over again. What if you forgot to get it and you passed away? Well, I'm so thankful that every word of God is true and pure. I'm thankful that we have it today. I'm thankful that we can open it and our God is big enough to be able to preserve His word for us. You say, oh, that's just written by men. Men just put that together and men just assembled that. No, can I say that's where faith comes in? And just believing that this is a holy book. That this is God's book. This is not put together by man. But the Bible says, listen, that grass may wither, the flower may fade, but there's one thing that will never pass away because our God is big enough to be able to preserve His Word. I'm thankful we have hope today in the Word of God. I'm thankful that the Word of God shall stand forever. But then I read down through here, and can I say these verses, starting in verse number 12, down through verses 12, 13, 14, 15, some of my favorite verses as we go throughout the Old Testament. Not only will I ask you, is your God big enough to be able to preserve His Word, but is your God big enough to be superior to everything here on this earth? You say, why would you ask it that way? Because we're living in a day and age that for some people, their God is that tree that we just planted out there. You say, oh, no, that wouldn't be true. Their God is those flowers that we planted out there. Their God is that sun that rises every morning and sets every evening. That's their God that they worship. You say, oh, no, I'd never think about that. For some, their God is their car. And you try messing with that. For some, their God is their job. Their God is a relationship. Their God is anything but Almighty God. We live in a society today that they worship everything. You get to countries around this world and you're not even allowed to get a cow out of the restaurant where you're eating because they worship that cow. And that might be your ancestor. Can I say this? I didn't come from a cow. I didn't come from a monkey. I'm not worshiping creation. I'm worshiping the Creator. And look what He says. Now we have a God that is superior to anything here on this earth. Now read with me verse number 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand. I was able to go out striper fishing with Peter last Saturday. And one of the comments I made, and we weren't a mile offshore, and you look out there and you can't see a thing except for water. And I've gotten on an airplane from JFK down in New York City, and I've flown for 11 hours to land in West Africa. And guess what? We were over water for 10 of those hours. And I made the comment, boy, there's sure a lot of water here on this earth. They tell us that approximately 75% of the surface of the world is covered in water. And you see what the Bible's telling us here about how big our God is? Now, I don't know if your God is this big, but understand this. The Bible says He's measured the waters in the hollow of His hand. You say, what's the hollow? You just cup your hand like this, and right down in the bottom of it, that's the hollow of His hand. And God said, there's the waters of the earth. Right there. And then it says that He hath meted or measured the heavens with the span. The span of your hand is when you stretch it out from the tip of your thumb to the tip of your pinky. Mine's about 10 inches. Got to measure fish. Be able to get that measurement to be able to see how long it is. And God said, listen, that's how big the heavens are. Now, you say, why would He tell us that? Why are you getting so excited about that? Listen, there's some great biblical principles about God's hand. You say, well, that's just figurative language. We'll find out when we get to heaven, okay? But I just believe we serve a big God, okay? I believe He can take the waters of the earth and He can measure them right there. I believe He knows how much dust. Ladies, we won't get into that, okay? Men, you didn't dust back at the house. God knows exactly. He's weighed the dust in the balance. He knows how much the mountains weigh. You say, that's something. Think about the hand of God for a minute. Remember what John chapter 10 says? The Bible says when we're saved, that we are placed in the hand of the Father. We're in Christ, in the hand of the Father. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You say, how big's God? Now think about this. If His hand, He can measure the waters, Brother Hebert. He can stretch it out and measure the heavens. Listen, there's not a microscope powerful enough to be able to see the ends of our universe. I wish this week, with all the science that's taken place and Apollo 11 and everything that's being memorialized this week, if they'd just come back and read about the heavens. And read what God says. Now listen, the Bible says He's measured the heavens. We don't even know where the end of the heavens are. And God says, that's just my hand. So I want you to think about this for just a moment. Can you let it sink in? If we are placed in the hand of God, and His hand, the span of it, measures the universe, do you realize to get off and out of the hand of God, you would literally have to go to the ends of the universe? And we don't even know where they are. We can't even see the ends. Now, you talk about eternal security. And some people say, well, I can get out of there on my own. The only thing I've got to say is start running. You are not going to be able to get off the hand of God. When we are saved, we are eternally saved because we serve a big God that's greater than anything. Now, why would someone want to worship a tree when they could worship the person who created the tree? Why would someone want to worship a dog when they could worship the one who created the dog and spoke it all into existence? How big is your... Is that the God you're serving today? Is that the God that you woke up this morning and you are so burdened down and you are saying, listen, all these problems are taking place? Is that the God that we're going to, believing that God can just do any of it and God can take care of it? And listen, even the nations... Last time I counted, 191 or 193 recognized nations around this world. And the Bible says they're but a drop of a bucket. Go ahead, grab a 5-gallon bucket. You want to know what all the population of the earth and all these nations around the world, just go ahead and dip your finger in some water and drop it in a 5-gallon bucket and see if it makes a difference. God said, that's what all the nations are to me. Now you think about it, if they're just a drop in the bucket, we are one nation out of all of them. Take a drop, divide it 190 times. And then take that segment of 190 times and divide that by almost 350 million. And that's what you are. And that's what I am. And God is so much bigger. See, sometimes I believe we fail to realize that God is a whole lot more superior than even the creation that is out here. And we stand in awe of creation. We stand in awe of how wonderful this world is. But our God is bigger than any of that. I wonder if we're believing that today. If we're acting like that. If we're living in faith that our God is that big. I wonder this. Third of all, I wonder if your God is big enough to take counsel from no one. You know, I've never once had God show up on my doorstep and say, "Peter, I just need to ask your advice on this." Look what the Bible says in verse number 13. "Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him?" Now, there's some that believe they can sit down and teach God a few things. There's sometimes we get too big for God. Sometimes we need to realize that God's too big for us. Verse 14 says, "With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding?" Who sat down with God before he spoke everything into existence? And said, "Now, God, here's how you do this." God didn't ask advice from anyone. He doesn't need to. That's the God we serve. God didn't set up a meeting and say, "All right, let's get together. Let me get the three archangels together. And we need to sit down and have a council. How do you think we ought to make man?" God didn't counsel with anybody. You know why? He's God. That's who he is. And guess what? When it came to the plan and direction for my life, God didn't come down first and say, "Peter, what do you think about this? Are you going to be all right with that?" No, he's not taking counsel from me. How many of y'all wish sometimes that God would come and take counsel from us? Boy, we'd mess things up. Now, that's the God that we serve. We serve a God that is all-knowing. And unlike our teenagers, he really does know it all. He's not a first-year Bible college student. I love the conversations Peter would call back. First-year Bible college students, and they're sitting off to the side of the dorm there and everything like this, and they know everything. They know everything. And if God would take 2 minutes and listen to a first-year Bible college student, honestly, everything would be straightened out around this world. God doesn't need counsel from anybody. And God's not asking our opinion before he works either. And God can work however, whenever, and in whoever he desires to. You know why? Because he's big enough, he doesn't need the counsel. You say, "God, would you just ask my opinion first?" Nope. Who gave him counsel? Who instructed him? Who can instruct the Spirit of God? No one. You say, "Pastor, why are you reminding us of that?" Because that's the God we serve. And how many times have we gone before God and said, "God, what in the world are you thinking? God, what are you trying to do? God, I'm trying to figure this thing out, but I can't understand it." You know why? His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. The secret things belongeth unto the Lord. We understand that. That's the God that we serve. Now, I just wonder this. We walk around and we live, honestly, like he's some puny little God. All right, let me protect my God. I'll put it in the pocket. And I'll just watch over him, make sure nothing happens to him. Can I say I serve a God Almighty that he's watching over me? And he's making sure nothing happens to me. When we look at this, he is so great and so wonderful. He's bigger and better than anything that you'd ever imagine. Is your God that big? Are we living like he's that big? Are we believing like he's that big? Are we acting like he's that big? I wonder if our God is big enough to know and to see everything. We didn't read the verses down through here, but starting in verse number 19, it starts talking about the workman with the graven image. And then it talks about those that would choose a tree that will not rot. And a cunning workman to prepare a graven image. And then he goes back and realizing you can make something out of gold. You can make something out of stone. You can make something out of wood. But they have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. Aren't you glad we serve a God that knows everything, that sees everything? That means when we're going through it and there's trials, there's tribulations, and you're saying, hey, nobody even notices this is taking place. We serve a God that sees it all. He knows all of it. We had some prayer requests on Thursday night. They're called unspoken prayer requests, which means we're not going to put them out there and mention them for everybody to be able to hear, because some people listen. They can't control their mouth and they get gossiping about it. And some things we just don't want to tell everybody, but God hears the cry of our heart. And I'm so thankful He can hear that. God sees the heartbreak. God sees what's going through. The Spirit of God, He prays with us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He petitions and intercedes to the Heavenly Father for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. We serve a God that's big enough to see and to know everything. Let me give you this. I'll get ready to close here in just a minute. I'm pretty excited about how big my God is this morning. I'm thankful that God would just choose to write it down for us. Be able to say, let me just give you a few comparisons that you can just kind of put it in perspective. But then I wonder this. I wonder if your God is big enough to take you to heights that you've never been before. Look what the Bible says in verse number 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Can I say this? I've never soared up where an eagle does. Now, I love flying. I do. But I love having an airplane underneath me. Okay? I'm not just looking to get a couple wings, Brother Bart, and get out there on my own and just jump off a hillside somewhere. But spiritually, the Bible says if you're willing to wait on the Lord, you mount up with wings as eagles. You'll be able to soar to heights that you've never imagined. And you know that most of the time it's not by the work and the effort of the eagle that they soar that high. Most of the time it's just the wind. It's just the current that is coming at them. If they were to stay up there against the rock a lot of times, if they're sheltered there in the side of the cliff of the rock, that wind would come in and beat them into the side of it. But they said that the wings of an eagle are so designed. Now get this. All they have to do is step off that edge and the wind gets underneath their wings and they go higher and higher and higher without any effort on their own. Just the wind that is blowing and carrying them higher. And before you know it, it's not the storm that's beating them into the side of the rock. But now it's that exact same storm that has caused them to soar above it. I thought, you know, is our God big enough to be able to take us to spiritual heights that we've never been before? You say, I've had a pretty good life, and I thank God for it, and I thank God for the victories that He's given to us, and I thank God for what He's allowed us to see. Listen, I thought that coming up to Concord. Can I be transparent with you for just a moment? I've set foot on 6 continents. I've been able to preach to auditoriums that have thousands of lost people. I've been able to give invitations of work that's been done. I've seen hundreds walk the aisle. Personal workers having to spend 30 and 45 minutes being able to deal from person to person to person, making sure they all get followed up with, making sure it's done correctly. We've been able to do that. We've been able to see that. And I'm thinking, God, what in the world are you doing going to Concord, New Hampshire? But we serve a big enough God that can allow us to soar to heights that we've never even experienced before. He's a big enough God. And I'm thinking, Lord, if we just trust you in that, if we just acknowledge how big you are, you say, but listen, there's sometimes it gets hard. Yeah, here's what the Bible says. Verse number 28, here's what Isaiah is writing to him. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Is your God big enough to be able to take you from the place that you're fainting now to the place where you're living in victory and soaring higher than you've ever been before? You say, even the youth shall faint. And listen, we say, hey, why don't you leave that to the young guys? Why don't you leave that to the younger generation? Can I say this? Even the young men get tired. Even they begin to faint. But no matter the age, if you wait upon the Lord, we have a God big enough from taking us down and fainting to soaring with the eagles. You say, how quick does that happen? I don't know. But I do know we have a God big enough to do it. How big is your God this morning? You say, well, I've got a pretty big God. I'm trusting Him. I'm trusting my religion. That's a pretty big God. I'm trusting my church. That's a pretty big God. None of them are going to get you to heaven. Can I finally say, is your God big enough to get you to heaven for all of eternity? You say, well, I don't know about that. Mine is. Remember back there about the hand of God? My God is big enough to put me right in the middle of His hand and not drop me off the edge. Because I'm in Jesus' hand. I'm in the Father's hand. I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise unto the day of redemption. No one can get out. No one can get in to take me out. Is your God big enough to do that? Or maybe you're still concerned about it and saying, well, I might lose it this week. Hey, listen, I lived for 13 years, had the Church of God in our backyard. Believed you could commit a sin, lose your salvation. You'd have to get it all over again. I serve a bigger God than that. I serve a God that when He saves me, He's able to keep me. And I just wonder this morning, if you're saved and on your way to heaven, do you have that assurance and trusted Christ for all of eternity? Because our God is big enough to do that. I wonder if you're to the point of fainting spiritually. Can I say God doesn't faint, but He'll give power to the faint. He's big enough to do that. He's big enough to get you back up, not just to be walking, not just to be running, but to be soaring with wings as eagles. That's how big our God is. The question is, are you willing to trust Him to do that? Are you willing to believe Him? Or maybe we could just go through life and we'll just live a defeated life because God's not big enough to do that. Is He big enough to put your marriage back together? Is He big enough to be able to get a hold of that young person's heart and convict them and get them back in church? Is he big enough to be able to take care of that job situation? Is he big enough to be able to take care of that grieving? Listen, we're getting ready to go into a funeral service tomorrow. There's so many unanswered questions. But our God's bigger than all of that. Is he big enough to take care of you? Is he big enough to take care of me? Then why don't we trust him to do so? Just his hand is able to. Haven't even gotten into where he bared his right arm. He's fixing to go to battle on our behalf. God's so faithful. Would you stand with your heads bowed and eyes closed?